So one of the worst parts, in my opinion, of running a practice myself was trying to figure out super bills and trying to keep track of super bills as well. Here's what I would get. Nobody would tell me they want a super bill, and then 6 months later, I'd get an email letting me know they needed 6 super bills so they could submit for out-of-network reimbursement, and I had to go back in and try to figure out what I saw them for and put everything together correctly for them. This is where a company like PT Everywhere solves this problem and creates a ton of time freedom for me. All of the super bills for anybody that we see within this platform with our local practice is housed within their member portal. So they actually can access it themselves. We can see it. We can print it off with one click. You know, we can actually track all their payments, their memberships, their packages that they have, and send them out anything they need from a documentation standpoint, all in one simple, easy to track place. This saves a ton of time, and it's really made it seamless for us to be able to have better communication on the reimbursement side with our clients that are requesting it. So if you are in practice for yourself, you're thinking about going into a cash practice, I highly recommend heading over to PTEverywhere.com, checking out what they got going on, because it has helped us a ton. We use it personally, and I highly recommend that you use it within your practice as well. So here's the question. How do physical therapists like us, who don't want to see 30 patients a day, who don't want to work home health, and have real student loans, create a career and life for ourselves that we've always dreamed about? This is the question, and this podcast is the answer. My name's Danny Matei. And welcome to the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. Hey, what's going on, guys? Doc Danny here with the PT Entrepreneur Podcast. And today we're talking about Facebook. There's some interesting stuff that is going on with Facebook right now, in particular with Apple. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of this or not. You probably have no idea if you're not really looking or paying much attention to the advertising side of things. But Facebook is a massive social platform. It is a huge company. They own Instagram as well and a number of other platforms. But with Facebook, they're one of the biggest advertisers. I think they're either number one or number two. Google's right there as well. Digital advertisers in the world. So for many of you, you're probably using Facebook ads or Instagram ads. Maybe you're not, but you're aware of them. You can leverage your content that way. You can do lead generation that way. You can do many things. And when we look at advertising on Facebook, one of the most powerful things with that platform is the fact that Facebook has a what's called algorithm, which is basically, think of it like it's like artificial intelligence, right? So it's like a brain that they've created via, you know, technology to make decisions based off of habits, patterns, utilization of the platform, things that you read or view or time spent on, you know, different pages or groups, things like that. So they're tracking your behavior, but they're also tracking other habits of yours, like for instance, like other things that you do on your phone. There's a lot of gray area here as to whether there's audio elements with this and just data that they're collecting on an ongoing basis, probably to a level that is more than we even realize. But when we look at what's happening now, Apple has basically said, we're not going to let you track our devices anymore with your app. So what they're doing, I think it actually happens this week, is they're basically shutting that down. So they're not going to let people get tracked like, okay, so-and-so's phone is here. So if you have a local service business, for instance, you can say, I want somebody to see my ad when they're in this specific area. Let's say you're like a restaurant. So if somebody's on their phone and they're in a part of the city where your restaurant is, they'll see your ad. When they're not, they won't, right? So it's more of a proximity thing. You can do that with phones, but Apple is removing the ability to track people. Primarily, they say for their own privacy. We'll see. It may be because they're going to try to have their own element of advertising on Apple devices, which might happen eventually. But for now, it's for privacy protection, whether that's actually the real reason why or not. It's happening, right? So if you're advertising significantly on Facebook, the chances are that you're going to see a decrease in the effectiveness of that. You know, if you're trying to really be very detailed and targeted and utilize the algorithm that Facebook has specifically. for local businesses, you know, there's a couple strategies that you can adopt for this that are going to help significantly in terms of you not necessarily just wasting your money on advertising. I think it is going to take a little while for this to really turn into a problem for a lot of businesses. If you're an e-commerce business and you're running on super thin margins because you sell something on Amazon, this is where it might really affect you significantly. For us with local service businesses, I don't think it's going to be as big of a deal. There's two things I think you really have to really focus on with this. Number one, if you're going to utilize Facebook or Instagram or whatever social platform, your best bet is to sort of supercharge your best content. So you can always pick areas and certain key demographics. So let's say you live in Atlanta, all right? You'll say you're practicing in Atlanta and you primarily work with CrossFitters, right? So you can pick to have your best content put in front of people that live in Atlanta that like CrossFit. All right, simple as that. Like, that's not going to go anywhere. Some of these more advanced things you're not going to be able to maybe do as well. But if you do that and you put your best content in front of somebody and you start to build a relationship via education, I think that's a great way to leverage ad spend dollars, marketing dollars, and the content you're creating, which is essentially an asset. So you're leveraging that asset to educate people and build a relationship. We do a lot of this with with PT Biz. We do a lot of education, and that leads to people, you know, learning something, applying something, getting a win, building trust, and then in many cases becoming, a client down the road where we can really help them organize their business in a different, kind of more efficient way. So if you're looking at this, I would say if you're going to be spending money on Facebook, the most kind of conservative, proven way of going about it is to leverage your best content in specific areas where you know you have people that you would work with and demographics and kind of interests that align with what your niche is, right? That's the simplest way to utilize it. Maybe not the best ROI. Maybe you're not going to get the most amount of clients from it, but you definitely are going to educate people, inform people, build brand awareness, and get people that come into your business because of that. And that should be a very easy thing to be able to utilize and manage over, you know, however long. I don't think that strategy is really ever going to kind of go out of style. The other thing is, this highlights the importance of local relationships, local marketing, and why I don't think it's a good idea to live and die just by social media ads, in particular lead ads, where you're trying to just get more initial evaluations, discounted evaluations, whatever, via ads on social platforms. I think it needs to be an element of your business, but if it's the only thing you're doing, I think it's sketchy to do so because other people can take that away very easily. This is not your platform. These are big businesses. They have their own reasons for doing things. And other big businesses, they may not agree with them. This is a good example of what just happened here. Years ago, Facebook basically said they were going to, you know, all right, well, we're going to stop as much organic reach with business pages. You know, I had friends that had hundreds of thousands of people that liked their Facebook page and essentially followed their Facebook page. And then it went from maybe half the people on that business page seeing every post they put up to like 5% overnight, just quickly, right? So if you can imagine, in that business, all of a sudden their reach dropped dramatically overnight. And the reason why was because Facebook basically said, if you want to have this reach, you have to pay for it. It's pay to play. That's when they saw a ton of an increase in ad spend. Their business, you know, revenue skyrocketed. They were public, right? So their stock price went up. They had shareholders that they were, keeping happy with being able to see their stock increase in value, and everybody made a lot of money. And the people that got they got screwed were businesses that were just doing what they thought were the rules of the game, right? But the people that set the rules can change them at any time, right? And you have to understand, you do not own that platform. You don't own that distribution channel. This is the importance of moving people over to an email list, you know, of having local relationships, you know, of having other databases as well as, your asset of your website, or, you know, your ability to mobilize and inform people in other ways is going to offset a lot of this issue that we see with platform changes if you're too dependent on it. So just keep that in mind. I would definitely still use Facebook, and from an advertising standpoint, you might see a little bit of difference in terms of your cost per conversion or ability to track some of these things. It might get a little bit harder than where it was before. And also, don't forget, your local marketing is so important. It's so important. You're a local service business, and it's not like you need to get 100 new patients in a month in these cash practices, right? Like if you're going to grow past yourself, what we found is you really need about 10 to 12 new patients a month per provider to get to a point where, you know, you're able to grow and scale. Some of that depends on how many of those people are coming back, and your retention rate really drives a lot of that. It could be less, it could be more, depending on your average visit rate and number of people that are moving over to any sort of ongoing work with you. But keep that reference point in mind. And that's something that you can get exclusively local marketing as well. You know, it's not as automated, it's not as scalable, but it's definitely time tested, it's proven, and it's something that is a huge part of every business that we work with as part of their strategy. So keep that in mind. Make sure that you're diversifying your marketing, that you are really not doubling down too much on one platform that could be removed, and that's a sketchy way to run your business. And just be aware, if you're running ads, you're probably going to see some changes in that as they figure out, you know, what that relationship is going to look like going forward. So if you're doing that, again, my advice: run content ads. Definitely just expose people to your best content. Make sure you're focusing on your local marketing, you know, and building other assets like your email list and, you know, and traffic to your website via blog posts and SEO and things of that nature, to where, you know, people are finding you a little bit more besides just direct social media advertising. So there we go, guys. Super tactical today. Hope you enjoy that one. Hopefully everybody's aware of it and can start to adjust now. And good luck to everything. I'll talk to you next week.
Hey, wait a minute. Just to let you guys know, we are closing in on 200 reviews on iTunes. That's crazy. Most podcasts hardly get to 100 reviews, let alone 200. And this is such a niche-specific PT business podcast. That's wild. So let's try to rally the troops and get to 200 reviews for this podcast. The first thing you need to do is you got to subscribe to this sucker, whether it's on iTunes or any other platform that you're listening to on, so you know when new episodes are coming out. The next thing, make sure that you leave a review. I'd love to hear what you have to say. I read all of them. It means a lot to me. Next thing, guys, take a screenshot of whatever episode you're listening to and put it in your stories on Instagram and tag me in it. That's at Danny Matei PT. If you do this, I will repost it. So you'll get a bump, I'll get a bump. We'll share this information with a lot more people, because that's the goal, guys. We want to get this information in front of a lot more people. So take a screenshot, share it on Instagram stories, tag me in it, and I will repost it. So here we go. Let's try to get to 200 reviews for the podcast. Thanks for listening.